This is the Sean Salisbury Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's the bench warmers and Sean Salisbury.
Welcome to the Sean Salisbury Show here on SB Nation Radio. Fortunate now to be joined by a longtime general manager and an analyst and an insider at the NFL Network, and always brings a great opinion. Longtime friend Charlie Casserly joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Charlie, how are you, buddy?
Good, Sean. How are you with you?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you with us. Let me start by a question I'm sure you've been asked a million times. Is Kirk Cousins the difference in Minnesota?
Well, obviously we're not going to know that till the time comes. Keenum had a great year last year. I don't know that Cousins could have played better than Keenum in that situation. The difference is Cousins has done it over a longer period of time without the talent that Keenum had last year. So the belief is that you will play better. Now, as we all know, you get down into those last couple of games, hey, they beat New Orleans by a Hail Mary. Okay? New Orleans should have been in the championship game, but all right. So it can be a matter of luck. What you're looking for is consistency year in and year out, and put yourself in a position to have a chance to win. And no one's figuring that Kirk Cousins is Tom Brady. He was the best available quarterback. That's what he was. So,
with that being said, Charlie, you've been in situations in Washington and Houston in positions to draft players that or sign free agents that are difference makers to a franchise. So put yourself in those shoes now. Do you, and Cousins is a numbers guy, he's put up a lot of good numbers, and this will be the best team he's ever played for. But that being said, do you yourself trust him under pressure and in the red zone?
Well, yes and no. I've seen him do good things. I've seen him improve in that area, and that was one of the objectives this year. And I've seen him make a lot of big-time throws in Washington. But there's been some hiccups along the way. Case Keenum's had a lot of hiccups, too. Again, you're dealing with alternates. You're not dealing with fantasy football. Do you take Cousins? Do you take Keenum? That's really your decision.
Well, who do you take?
I take Cousins over Keenum. History.
I saw
Cousins throw for 4,000 yards to who this year?
Right.
He didn't have wide receivers. His best tight end hardly played. Chris Thompson he lost at some point during the season. By the end of the year at the running back position, you had to look up in the program to know who they were. So when you consider his production in that situation, that's pretty phenomenal. And I know every week when I thought about the Redskins, the first guy I thought, he gave him a chance to win. Okay? When I thought about the Vikings, I thought about the players around Keenum that gave him a chance to win. Now, Keenum played well. There's no denying it.
Longtime former NFL GM Charlie Casserly, NFL Network studio analyst, joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Okay, Charlie, be the GM for the Browns. You know they got Tyrod Taylor. Who are you picking first with that pick?
Sam Darnold. That's easy. I think the guy is going to be a star in the league. You got to this position for many reasons. One is you haven't had stability at the quarterback position. I like Sam Darnold as the top quarterback. And the way this plays out, you may get Barkley at 4 if quarterbacks go 2 and 3. So certainly the Jets traded up to get a quarterback. The key is, what are the Giants going to do? Are they going to take a quarterback or do they take Barkley?
I'm with that about Sam Darnold. This isn't my USC bias, but I actually think, Charlie, he's got a chance to be special. There's something about him. He can move. He can throw on the run. I think they'd be crazy not to take him, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think, obviously the coach is going to come out and endorse Tyrod Taylor. They're going to keep it quiet. But I know they're not trading the pick, because it's been tried and they wouldn't trade it. So that tells you they've settled in on a guy. And giving Hyde the money they did, which wasn't great, but it was something. It's a one-year deal, I guess, basically. But I wouldn't spend $5-6 million on my number two running back if I was taking Barkley. So I think they're protecting themselves there if they take Darnold 1 and don't get Barkley. That's the way I look at that thing. Because Hyde's a good player. So it's not like they didn't sign a good player.
Right. All right, so Charlie, with that, assuming we both think that, let's say quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3, Tell me the other two. The other, we know Darnold first. All right, two and three. If you're the Giants and the Jets, let's say they're both going to take a quarterback. Tell me the order you'd take the quarterbacks in.
Well, I've had Rosen two, and then I have a line. And I'm doing this off tape, all right? I understand there's questions about Rosen in regards to leadership and where he is passing a physical, and we'll call it social skills, if you will. I can't answer them on tape. I know what all the questions are, but I don't have access to the information to answer them. I know what I interviewed 10 teams on them, so I think I know what 10 teams think of those answers. But I've also done this for real, and there's a big difference from doing it in the media and doing it for real, basically the access of information that you have. So, but off tape, I thought he was ahead of Allen and ahead of Mayfield. The pro system, his experience in that, I think, is huge. I think this guy can make all the throws. He may not be as mobile as you'd like him, but I see the guy slide and avoid people. At times I see him, force the ball maybe when he shouldn't, but I think he, to me, is number two based on the tape, his ability to play the position.
Hey, Charlie, if you're Dave Gettleman, the general manager of the Giants, you're in a position where your quarterback's aging, so you could look for somebody to replace Eli Manning in the next couple of years. Obviously, the running back, Saquon Barkley, highly regarded by everybody, Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher, or try to move the pick. What would you do if you were Dave Gettleman, or at least what would you try to do there?
Well, I think it comes down to Barkley or the quarterback, and I guess I have Barkley rated higher, I'll say that, okay? But I just have to get more comfortable with the quarterback to make a decision on him, and I know I'm passing on the question to a degree, but I just have to get those answers on Rosen clear in my head to take him. But and you shouldn't take for need, but I think Eli's false hope in all reality. And I know he's been a stalwart for the franchise. I get that. But his play has gone downhill over the last couple of years, and you can talk about the players around him. But I see him making throws, inaccurate throws, that have nothing to do with the players around him. And getting rid of the ball at times when he shouldn't. And that has nothing to do with the players around him. I understand solidifying the left tackle will help him, but it's going to help the next guy too.
So the Bills traded Tyrod. They signed A.J. McCarron to 2 years, $10 million. They move up to 12 in the draft all last week. Do they sign another quarterback, and are they going to have to move up in the draft again to get one?
You know, I'm assuming they're going to have to move up, but I think the Jets just put all the cards on the table, and I almost think they forced the Giants into making a decision they'd have to make anyway, because the Giants weren't going to get a quality quarterback, weren't going to get one of the four quarterbacks at the top of the second round. But now they absolutely know they don't have flexibility to trade back if they want a quarterback. They got to take the guy they want right there. And I think Denver is going to take a quarterback. And I think Denver has options at other positions, but I have a feeling they're going to take one. And I don't think Buffalo is going to have a trade partner. Certainly, it was a long shot for somebody to go from Indianapolis position or the Giants position or even Denver's position to go to 12. That wasn't going to happen, because what you were getting at 12 wasn't going to come close to what you were getting at those other picks. So I think Buffalo's got McCarron and whoever they take in that second round, and that's where they are at quarterback. And sometimes that's what you have to do. I mean, build your team up and be good, and the quarterback will come later.
Charlie, we got about 2 minutes left with you, and we appreciate the time. Is Lamar Jackson a successful Sunday quarterback?
Not at this point in time. Accuracy bothers me. And decision-making bothers me in the games that I watch on him. Great athlete, can make all the throws, but not consistent with decision-making and accuracy. And I think those are your two main reasons why he's successful at quarterback. That doesn't mean he can't get better. He's more of a prospect/project than a finished product right now.
And, Charlie, finally, who's had the best offseason so far for you in the NFL?
Well, Cleveland, because they had so much to do. But I really like the Bears, because you see a plan of attack to help the quarterback. And the Giants with the single signing of Soldier, that's huge, because they solved a problem that probably cost the other people their jobs.
Sure did. Charlie, it's always great to have you on. I know you got a busy schedule, and it's a crazy time of year, but football is 12 months a year. And we always appreciate you sharing some of your time and insight with us, buddy.
All right, great to be with you guys.
All right, appreciate it. It's Charlie Casserly, NFL Network, longtime general manager in the NFL. I think that's going to be the problem with a lot of people on Lamar Jackson. If they're sitting on the fence, do I take him or do I not? You got to say, what do you value more, an explosive playmaker who will never be accurate? And which one matters more? Where do you place more value? The accuracy and making the simple and boring play that will sustain you longer, or the explosive playmaker that won't be accurate? And that's the question teams, if you're going to draft him in the first or second round, you're going to have to ask yourself.
And that's concerning, too, because that's a former GM for multiple teams in this league is saying the accuracy and the decision-making really concerns him.
Wasn't Charlie the GM in Houston when they drafted
Mario Williams?
And you know who they passed on? And also, who else was in that draft?
Vince Young, Matt Leiner.
That's exactly right. And what was the problem? What would they think about Vince Young? What was the problem with him?
Accuracy.
Yes, mechanics and the accuracy. So,
and remember, everyone in Houston wanted him.
Robin, you think that accuracy or playmaking? If you're a GM, what do you take over the other?
For a quarterback, yep. Or is this Lamar Jackson, the receiver? Because it's two GMs, obviously, that aren't very impressed with this guy. It's really hard to say because with the accuracy is obviously going to be a problem to anyone because you cannot fix that, but you got to look at some of that playmaking and maybe you can build an offense around this guy.
Absolutely, and that's I'm anxious to see where somebody falls on that.